And now, glad to finally see Andrew Wiggins become the alpha dog, Seren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you for joining us here on a beautiful Monday. Doesn't get much better.
Pretty damn nice.
Spectacular weather. I hope you're getting a chance to get outside and enjoy it. Petro, Seabolt, Rudy Salazar running the operation today as we take you through a busy Monday. We'll talk to Sam McDowell, columnist for the Kansas City Star.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big deal.
He is.
I know this because he told me so. He said, I'm a big deal. He's going to be
he
with us.
He did it in a very low-key, you know, almost
dry
monotone.
Was it a dry delivery?
I'm kind of a big deal.
Yeah, that is Sam. So we'll see if we can get his voice up an octave or two today. Two-minute drill coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. We'll stop in, check in on the playoff series that are going on in the NBA, amongst other things. Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus going to be with us in the 5 o'clock hour, so we'll talk some football in the 5 o'clock hour. You can grab a phone line right now, 913-3810-810. Open up the lines, 913-3810-810. Hit me up on the Twitter. It's at Seren Petro, S-O-R-E-N-P-E-T-R-O. Let's start with your Kansas City Royals, Curtis.
And a juxtaposition of positive and negative. A big positive and an historic negative.
Yes. The historic, where do you want to begin? Which do you think is a better place to start?
I think a better place to start.
The negative, right?
Yeah. It's the more enjoyable. It's not the most important.
It's more entertaining. Don't be stealing. The thunder.
Sorry. I didn't know that was thunder. I didn't know that thunder was quiet.
I seemed
to be out there for a while.
Well, we'll lay it out there, and then we'll ask which one's more important. So that will come your way. But let's start with the negative,
yes, to
which it is.
A negative to the point where I had to check my configurations on StatHead several times before I was able to go, okay, that actually is the case.
Right.
Before yesterday, in the history of Major League Baseball, there had been 1,441 occurrences in which a team had exactly seven innings of shutout ball from their starter, no more, no less, and scored at least six runs. 1,441 games. You know how many times those teams lost?
Twice.
Four.
Four.
Four times before yesterday. 1-14-37-4. The Royals were number five. The previous games happened in 2019. Mike Soroka,
okay,
for the Braves. Tom Glavine of the Mets in 2004. Darren Oliver, Casey's own, for the Cardinals in 98. And Dave Steeb of the Blue Jays in 1985, what would eventually be a division-winning season for them. And then add Brady Singer's name to that list yesterday. 14-31-4, and of the other four, only one of them lost in nine innings. The other three were in extras. So just a second team to have those two stats and not even get it to extra innings.
Listen, it was a gut, you know, I had Rainey texting me, and, you know, if the Royals lose this game, like, what? We're going to stomp our foot? Like, what the hell are you going to do? You know, the good news is, one, we've learned as a fan base to live with poor baseball.
Yes.
So this shouldn't have been anything that you haven't dealt with before. I heard Jason talking earlier. He mentioned the Chip Ambrose game.
Yep.
And chronicled how, you know, that was only five runs. But how memorable that is, how that's burnt into the heads of Royals fans. And I think because of that, they've learned to adapt and to just deal with the failure. But this one, as you put, what's so amazing is that not only did they get the seven shutout innings, it's the guy following up, the guy that was really the poster child for why it's not going to work this time, why the Dayton Moore regime was able to win a championship in 15, a pennant in 14, but why it's not going to work was Brady Singer. And then he goes out and throws seven shutout innings. And this was the start where we find out, okay, did he Bobby Keppel him? You know, if you remember the old, you know, quick cup of coffee that Bobby Keppel had with the Royals, came up, former failed first-round pick with the Mets, but had been toiling in the minors, and threw a couple, at least one good game, if not two. And we've dubbed it the Bobby Keppel effect, so
mowed down the Expos or something along that line. And
I don't know that he mowed him down, but he danced around.
He danced around, yes.
And it's a phenomenon that we've seen where a young pitcher will come up, pitch well, and it's really more about the opposition going. I mean, I personally believe they look at it and see he's pitching the next day, and it's like, well, let's hit the town tonight, guys.
Yeah.
Because, you know, slack hump job triple A guys throwing tomorrow.
We're gonna knock him all over the yard.
We're gonna get tanked. We don't need to read the scouting report. We don't need to really be focused. Let's go party it up hard because this doofus is gonna pitch. And then he puts up a couple of good games. The stats look pretty good, and the guys go, wait a minute, hang on, what is it? Give me the scouting report. What does he throw? Oh, okay, don't worry about this. Breaking ball, it's a get-me-over breaking ball, no problem there. Just sit fastball and react to the change. You're good to go. Bang, and they crush him. This was the follow-up performance. Did Brady Singer just Bobby Keppel the opposition last time out, or has he really found the changeup? Is it the weapon, a legit third pitch, that he can now be a guy that when they look at it, and I think the next start, not to keep pushing it down the road, but now he's done it twice, they'll be ready for him. He's going to get whoever's five games from now. I'll have to look here. I'll tell you.
They're off on Wednesday.
Yeah, but they don't ever seem to skip anybody. So Saturday at Minnesota. So he's going to get the Twins again.
Yeah.
And if they do skip somebody, then he's still going to get the Twins on Friday.
Yeah.
Which they don't usually do, but you know, we're really going to find out when he turns right around and faces the same team again how good he is. But this was an opportunity to find out, okay, is Brady Singer fixed? And the answer was yes, and it was seven glorious innings. Seven innings of, well, it's back on track, only to have it fall apart.
Yeah. And I don't think it wasn't as dominant as his previous seven. And to some extent, you could say, well, because he had no walks in 9 Ks. Yes, so he was 3 walks in 3 Ks. But that meant he had to do some pitching in some tough spots, and most notably in the sixth inning when he had the bases loaded and was able to, with one out, got a ground out and a line out, and stranded those runners. So he pitched out of a jam that he made himself, but he walked off the mound, 4 hits, no runs again.
He's not going to look, and there is diminishing returns, as you pointed out. 9 Ks and no walks in 7 innings. The first time, 3 Ks, 3 walks. Did still only have 7 base runners, though.
Yeah.
But the K to walk, you know, the Ks are down, the walks are up. And I think, you know, no one's throwing 7 shutout innings every time out, right? So we know that there's going to be a correction. The question is, can he come back out against the Twins and give you a quality start? Next time, can he go 6 innings and give up 3 runs or less? If he does, mission accomplished. Because they just saw him, and they're going to get another look at him. You know, the advantage is going to go to the Minnesota Twins on that, and so he's going to have to show his full repertoire again. The point, though, is the game was a dismal failure. But I will ask you this, which one's more important? The fact that the bullpen collapsed and they lost this game, or the fact that Brady Singer pitched well? Which one's more important? And I will tell you definitively, I believe it's that Brady Singer pitched well. I mean, let's be honest. What are you looking for this year? What do you want out of this season? Most of us were picking him in the 70s. Wins. I mean, did we want to be proven wrong and see them contend and go to the playoffs? Yes. But did realistically any of us think this was a playoff team? No, we didn't. So why are we going to be, I mean, like the venom, the real passion for being upset about anything, for me, it's gone. This season, despite the comments that the Royals made when Terry Bradshaw was let go, that they think they're still in this race, I don't. I get, as an organization, why you have to say that, but I don't think they're in this race. I don't think they're a playoff team. I don't think if they got in the playoffs, they could do anything if they got there. I don't think they're ready for it. And so I would hate to see them post a 2003, for the old-timers out there that remember that Royals team that won 83 games but came out of the gates, what, 15-3, I think, was the start?
So, I think it was like 17 or 18 and 3.
It was like 9-1 or something. But, yeah, just ran out there and then basically just
fell apart after the All-Star game.
Kind of held on. They made some moves. They stayed in the race into September, but ultimately succumbed to the lack of talent.
Yeah.
But it made this organization think that they're close. And they went out the next year and got Benito Santiago and the remains of Juan Gonzalez and kidded themselves.
Lost 100 games.
And lost 100 games. Like, listen, big picture-wise, I'm not asking you to sit and enjoy it. And you heard Mike Matheny. He said all the right things. You know, don't have any words for it and can't describe it. But as a fan, I'm going to tell you right now, like, root for your team. Don't like when they lose. Yes. But lose sleep over it? No. I think you may have gotten the absolute best of all worlds yesterday. You got the performance you needed out of Brady Singer to continue to believe that you've got one of the rotation spots locked up with Brady Singer, that he is now fixed and going to be a guy that is going to be one of your anchor starters. And they lost and improved their draft pick. What to get upset about? They cannot kid themselves into thinking this team is a contender. They know. Ownership knows. They need more good talent. If anything, my hope is that this starts to set in that, 22 isn't the year, but 23 probably isn't either. Listen, just wanting it to be next year does not make it so. Right? We as a fan base could say it's been long enough. It has. You've had enough time. They've had enough time. But because we acknowledge those things and point them out, doesn't mean that the team is suddenly, because we've come to that conclusion, doesn't mean that it's going to be ready to compete when we want it to compete. Does this look like a contender next year? With some money spent?
No.
With some money spent, maybe, but not really, no. Yeah, Curtis is right. No. And there is... more talent that needs to be added to this roster, whether it's from their own system or if it's buying free agents or on the trade market. And so let that message seep in. Like, let J.J. Pecola and Dayton Moore get the real view of what this team is. And it was not good enough. It was a failed plan. If anybody had the idea that they were going to contend with anchoring it, and we don't even talk about it anymore, and I feel bad for the young man, but for the fan base, because Adalberto Mondesi is out for the year, his name doesn't even get brought up, but that was a fundamental mistake.
Yeah.
It was a fundamental mistake by this organization to put him at short. They should have known it before this year. They didn't, but they have to now. I mean, now you would think it has to be, I think it has to be over. And he'll come back as a utility player. I think. I'm hoping. Right? But, you know, having that happen, if that's what it takes for them to move on and acquire other players that can be those building blocks, then this is time well spent. As opposed to continuing to whiz into the wind and wonder why you're all wet. Like, oh, let's turn around. That direction. Okay, we've at least figured something out. All right? And so I get it, but I'm not upset. I'd just as soon have the third pick, which I think they're in line for right now. I'd just as soon have the third pick in next year's draft. Another high-end talent added to the mix? Yes, please. If you're not winning, to me, the ideal situation is to finish dead last and have the number one pick every year until you're good enough and then win it all. And as soon as you're not good enough, finish last again. Like everything that the NBA does with their lottery and now baseball's trying to do to avoid tanking, you know what they've done? They've just made you spend more time tanking. It doesn't change what you have to do. You still want to acquire as many resources as possible. They just make it harder for you to get the team, the franchise-changing talent by making you be a part of a lottery and maybe pick fourth when you're the worst team. If you get a crappy player, what are you going to do? You got a tank. You need resources. So I'm all for it. Let's go. They weren't going to win anyway. So we saw what we needed to see out of Brady Singer. The rest of it, like, we know the Royals can build a bullpen. We've debunked that.
Currently 28th out of 30 teams in the majors in bullpen ERA, 4.69.
And part of that
the Reds and Rockies.
Yeah.
Those are not two teams you want behind or ahead of you. So That's just the smallest of victories there.
And I believe those are the only two teams that have given up more runs than the Royals as well. They've really only had a really good bullpen for a little stretch when they were winning a championship. So if the idea was like, well, we got all these great guys, listen, spare me. Right, Derek, we've talked about it a lot. Josh Staumont is not a dominant reliever.
No.
He's just a guy. A lot of
guys that throw 100.
Yeah. So a lot of guys that throw 100, and then they throw something else, too, and then they strike out 14 per nine. He does not do that.
No.
So, look, if what this is a reality check for this organization, then so be it. Actually, I should give him more credit. He is up there at that. I better double check that. 24 Ks in 16 and two-thirds. So he's up there at that range. He's trending more. But the 4.32 ERA speaks to the fact that
days like yesterday, yes, he really, really needed to strike out, and he couldn't.
And he couldn't get it. He couldn't get it. So, I know I'm supposed to come in here and scream and yell, and nothing's changed. They made the right move. If anything, though, this continues to shine a light on Cal Eldred. And, I don't know how Mike Matheny can sit there and answer questions, and the next, conversation isn't, okay, me, Cal, JJ, Dayton, organizational pitching coordinator, meeting in five. What are we doing? And if that gets the change that needs to be, whether it's somebody down in the minor leagues or it's Cal Eldred, I will continue to say what I said about the hitting coach. And that is, I'm not qualified to tell you if the guy's teaching the right swing or not. I don't know. I just know either the hitting coach, somebody in the minor leagues, somebody in the hitting process has got to go. The Royals are not there. We heard J.J. Pecola basically say, and Dayton Moore, that the reason Bradshaw's not here and Cal Eldred is still here is because Bradshaw was given more to work with. And there is a feeling that this team should hit better. They clearly are of the mindset that they're not so sure it should pitch any better. That not as much has been given. That's their view. I think more than this has been given. Whatever this is. And if it's not Cal Eldred, it's somebody somewhere else in this organization. There is a problem on the pitching side. Fortunately, it's not Brady Singer, who is one of your biggest resource allocations, a first-round draft pick, and service time spent on the kid when you're not playing for anything and giving him a full year in 60 games. You need to get it right with Brady Singer. You need to get that right. That came through. I think the more important side of the equation was Brady Singer being right. But, if you want, folks are lining up. I'll listen to you piss and moan. 913-3810-810. Hit me up on the Twitter, at Seren Petro.
And the pluses, just to go into detail, you talked about, the draft position, but at 14-26, it's a lot easier to say, all right, every move we make from the rest of the year cannot be for this season. It's for the future, which means maybe DFA Carlos Santana, maybe you bring up Prado or Pasquantino or whatever. Andrew Benintendi, Zach Greinke, gone at the deadline. Brad Keller maybe, yeah. Sal Perez maybe, if he gets once he gets healthy again. If you can get those guys have got to be on the block and gone and start moving them for things for next year. So then you can. It's a lot easier to think about
things
that
for
if
the
you're
future.
If you're out.
Yeah, and if you realize that next year is not going to be the year, because I'm not convinced that ownership spent $1 billion and then went through the losses that come with pandemic seasons is going to say, yeah, here's $200 million to go spend, go get it done. They might, because they're going to put a stadium bill up before long, and so they might. But if they're not ready to, I can't fault ownership for not just spend right now, right? And so if that's the case and you're not going to have a big fat checkbook to go spend in free agency next year, then coming to the conclusion that next year is not the year either can empower you to make those moves, can empower you to move a Brad Keller if it's like, listen, what Jeff Passan said, 5 for $75?
Mm-hmm.
Are you comfortable with 5 for $75 million for Brad Keller? I'm not.
No.
I'm not. No. The Yankees,
can
the Mets,
to make that
the
mistake.
Dodgers, teams that are going to say, hey, this is our fourth or fifth starter and it rounds out a championship club, that may look really enticing.
And if he sucks, it's couch cushion money for,
exactly.
For those guys. Yeah. The fan base is, at this point, it's not that difficult to sell them the idea that we're going to bring up young guys and we're going to trade these veterans because they're sick of seeing this kind of performance from a veteran ball club.
But let me also
if they send these guys out and they get prospects and they're crap the rest of the year and they're crap the first part of next year, the fan base will be okay with that, I think, mm-hmm. as long as they can see without having to squint too hard, to use your metaphor from last couple of weeks, where they're going.
Yeah.
If you try to compete again next year and put money into it and don't bring guys up and are, you know, 65 and 97 again, they're done. Forget it.
913-310-810, the phone number, 913-310-810. We've got a few folks lined up. We will take your phone calls next. We're talking Royals baseball to get things started. I want to get into some NBA. We'd like to talk some Andrew Wiggins. Anybody watch Wig Throwdown yesterday?
My goodness.
That was impressive. We'll talk some basketball later on in the program, some football as well. 913-310-810, you're in the program. All right, 913-310-810, the phone number, 913-310-810. You can hit us up on the Twitter, at Seren Petro. Talking some Royals baseball to get things started. Let's get going with Jazzy Jay. You're in the program, Jay. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, Seren, thanks for taking the call. I am happy to announce to you I didn't watch 1 second of Royals baseball over the weekend because I was in Tulsa at the PGA Championship, and it was fantastic.
Was it? Did they do a good job down there?
Oh, yeah. And the weather cooperated, you know, on Saturday and Sunday. Just beautiful time. Just great crowd out there. Just overall, tip my hat to Tulsa, of all places.
Well, while you're doing that, I'm going to take a minute and say nice job to the Corn Ferry Tour. Because I was over at Blue Hills on Saturday and Sunday, and they did a magnificent job. I had a lot of fun out there watching the tournament. Certainly not the PGA Championship, right, which was fine with me. I didn't have to deal with any mobs or crowds, but I really enjoyed it. They did a great job to the folks at Blue Hills and all the sponsors. They put on a first-class tournament. So it's nice to hear that Tulsa did a great job on the PGA, but they did a fantastic job. I know we had a lot of folks over there broadcasting last week, and it was a lot of fun. It was really cool and good to see a great event get put on here in Kansas City. But I digress, Jay, to your point.
Hey, no, Sorrento, I have to disagree with you on one thing in your monologue.
Okay.
A little bit, I guess. And we're pointing the finger at Kevin, this is my layman's understanding of how a baseball organization works. Okay. So bear with me. But we're saying, hey, we're gonna we're going to get upset with the hitting coach, right, or where the guy that left. But, Soren, I'm not there, man. I'm kind of – why are we getting upset at the guy that's having to teach these, quote, major leaguers how to hold the bat? That's just how I envision it. You're in the majors. My frustration is, where are the guys who – why are we holding the scouts accountable? Who said go draft, fill in the blank? Because we've got nothing to be excited about, and we should have some – and you know where my heart goes out to the most out of all the players on this roster every year for the last 3 years I've said this? Whit Merrifield, man. Like, and correct me if I'm wrong on this story, didn't he was going to be on the World Series roster, but they brought up Mondesi and left Whit down in Omaha, so Whit didn't get a ring. Is that the correct story?
Yes.
If I'm Whit Merrifield, I'm salty as hell because – I didn't get a ring for Alberto Mondesi, who's been nothing but hurt, and the prospect that never was. And now I'm stuck on a losing team. And now, even worse, he's in a batting funk. He's batting like 206 right now for the season. He can't get out. He's absolutely trapped. If I'm him, I'm so disgruntled. It's all I could do to just not get up and walk out. And to make matters even worse, if it could, I'm a petty guy. But you know what? In Kansas City, when you hear the number 15, you know who you think of? It's not Whit Merrifield. I'm sorry. It's the other guy that plays across the street in Patrick Mahomes. So we don't even think of number 15 as Whit Merrifield, as petty as that sounds. Man, Whit, you know what? I'll say it. I hope for you, you swing your way out of Kansas City and go to the Yankees and go get that ring you deserve, because Mondesi has that ring, not you. And you deserve every bit of that ring for what you've had to put up with over the last 5 years or 7 years from this dysfunctional organization. Soren, this team isn't going to be a contender for another 3 to 5 years. The way you fix it get rid of your scouting department because they clearly don't have the right vision. Start there. Sell it. Sell what I mean, sell it, not the team.
Right.
Sell the players. If someone calls up for Salvi and offers you a draft pick, get him going. Get whatever you can get. Kind of like you always say with the Chiefs, man, you want those lottery tickets. I'll take as many lottery tickets with the right scouts at the helm as I possibly can. That's what I would do. Saran, I love this show. I'll leave you with one last piece. While I was driving down to Tulsa, I listened to your Red, Gold, and Bold. You did a phenomenal bit on floors, ceilings, and expectations. Well, I want to leave this call on a positive note, on a Chiefs note, not to switch gears. The one guy you didn't mention with everyone's hyped up about is Justin Ross. Would you mind willing on either A-10 or Red, Gold, and Bold say what your expectations, floor, ceiling, and comp would be for him? Because there's a lot of buzz in this town thinking this could be the next Randy Moss. So, guys, I love your show. Listen off the air. Thank you much.
All right. Thanks, Jay. The next Randy Moss, I can confirm, is not Justin Ross. I will confirm that right now. The ceiling is not Randy Moss.
Lonely out there on that branch?
Wow. I feel good. It's thick, sturdy.
As you wrap your arms around the trunk.
I'm going to build a condo on that branch.
Your feet on the ground.
So comps for Justin Ross. Yeah, we did this in what he's talking about for anyone who didn't hear. We gave a player that we thought was a comp, and I did all former Chiefs. Jeff Chedia and Eric Eager did varieties of players. We did the comp for what we think the guy will be, and then we did a comp player for what we think the ceiling could be and a comp player for what the floor would be. And so for Ross, if I were to do that, he doesn't have the speed to be Randy Moss, never did, has catch
almost
radius.
No one ever has.
Yeah. I'm going to have to think about it. I don't want to just throw something out there off the top of my head, but he's long. He can go snatch the ball. I mean, he's going to be more of win a jump ball. He's going to have to be a proficient route runner because he's not just going to run away from people. But he's already damaged goods physically. I mean, the word was that only four teams cleared him medically.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're talking – now, that doesn't mean that the other 28 are right. It just means they weren't willing to take a risk. And I think, and like we said, they didn't use a draft pick on him. They signed him as a free agent, so more power to him. I'd sign plenty of guys that our medical people said no to if they were just available without a draft pick. But I think you're looking at a possession – you know, just off the top of my head, diet Chris Carter. Okay, like snatch the ball, move the chains, but not beat people deep. Going to need to be an efficient route runner. Andy Reid's going to have to scheme him open at times, but could be a post up guy in the end zone. That's just off the cuff.
Yeah.
But I'll try to come up with it, and we'll be doing Red, Gold, and Bold tomorrow night. So I'll add that to the topic list, and we'll see if we can come up with one. I'll throw it by the guys, and all three of us will take a shot at it for tomorrow. But to your point about the Royals, go ahead.
I was going to say, Randy Moss is a unicorn.
Yes.
I mean, there wasn't one before him. There won't be one after him.
Yeah. I hate to even...
6'4" and be just a freaking jet.
It's tough to put ceilings...
And be able to jump.
Have ceilings... Ceiling comps be Reggie White,
right.
Randy Moss.
There's only one in the box.
Derek Thomas, Lawrence Taylor. You know, that's. I know people are excited. It's because they know the name and he had a big performance in a championship game.
Yeah.
Right? That's what it is.
He
didn't go by seven rounds. Even if there were four teams that cleared him medically and the 28 others didn't, he was still passed on 28 times.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do keep that in mind. Let's let him make the team first.
Yeah.
Which I know you're not, you know, trying to, but you're just asking for my opinion. But I think he's got a shot to make the team. I think he's got a shot to be a player. But I mean, where he was, the way he entered the league, it's highly unlikely he'll ever have a 1,000-yard season. Highly unlikely. It's highly unlikely he'll have a 1,000 yards in his career. To your point about the Royals and the scouting. I don't know. I don't think they're 3 to 5 years away. I think that's your frustration boiling up, and you know, somebody's pissed and says, I'm pissed and say it's not next year. So, well, you saying I agree it's not next year doesn't fuel the fire. So we got to make it 2 years, 3 years. It's 5 years away. I don't think it's that far away. But I do think that they are in a – and I've said all along when the window closed the last time, that if they get back and win a World Series, the accomplishment will be bigger this time than it was the first time. I believe that then, and I believe it now. I think all the lessons that they took advantage of, all the inequities in the market that they took advantage of, are now commonplace. People know to build a bullpen, right? That was kind of unique. It was kind of sneaky. Frequency of contact against strikeout pitchers in the postseason. They did an excellent job of that. Teams are hip to that. So it will be harder for them to do it. So just to say that, you know, they may do a better job now than they did before and not make the playoffs. Right? The Milwaukee Brewers have been a really good franchise for the better part of the last decade, and they've yet to win a championship. That's the other thing. You can get to the postseason. Doesn't mean you're going to win a championship. I mean, we were pretty spoiled.
Haven't even been in a World Series.
Yeah, as fans, that they got there and went to the World Series both times. I mean, that's remarkable. But I don't think they're 3 to 5 years away. I think there are things that are going right. I do think they're hitting in the minor leagues, and we're going to see what happens now. Has shown a lot of signs of progress. But I think that they do have to be very honest. Something we talk about all the time is look in the mirror and accurately evaluate what's looking back at you. And if what you're looking at the mirror, and I think, you know, to a degree, and I have no problem with J.J. Pecola saying, hey, we're still in this race at 6.5 games out. Yeah, that's fine. And frankly, do you want a general manager who walks up there and goes, yeah, by the way, we're screwed. We got nothing. I mean, you'd really lose your mind if that's what J.J. Pecola said. So I have no problem with the comments that he and Mike Matheny and Dayton Moore had about, you know, wanting to get into the race. And frankly, you know, there's some legitimacy to it because the division's playing down. But you need to look and say, that's not what this team is. And you got to be honest, like, is Brett Keller really the best way to invest your money, or is getting three more prospects? Lower prospects. Even as of not to, well, I want to find some guy who's major league ready. Get me a center fielder that's, you know, hitting .285 with a .305 on base and AAA, but we know he can come up and at least have survival skills in the big leagues. You talk about upside. You talk about drafting power pitching, because swing and miss power starting pitching only comes out of the draft because you can't afford to sign it in free agency. Then that needs to be your approach when you make trades. Don't be trading for mid-level Jags. Go out and grab the guy that can make a difference. You know, that's the most important thing. Find that difference-making talent wherever it is, whatever level it's at. And, yeah, I do think that this is an important one. For Whit Merrifield, listen, Whit being moved or Mondesi being moved on or both of them being gone, I think this organization should look at it and consider that, has that become toxic, right? I don't think it's toxic for Whit. They've paid him millions of dollars. And if he had angst towards this organization, then he shouldn't have signed on to his contract. But he did, and for me, bygones be bygones at that point. Once he signed, he said, I'm okay here. I'm over it. And if he's not, that's his problem now. Right? Because once you had an opportunity to just play it out and get out, he didn't do it. But I do think the organization, and I don't think they're going to do it, but just being done with Mondesi, which they're not going to be, but would take away a lot of, you know, hurt. You have a relationship and it doesn't work and you're heartbroken. What you don't need to do is work in the cubicle next to that gal for the rest of your life, or that guy, for the ladies listening out there. That's not a healthy situation. And if that's where it is, you're heartbroken over Mondesi not being on this team may be the kind of refreshing outlook that the organization needs. I am open to that idea. Whit Merrifield, if that angst is there, then him being on another team might absolutely be what this team needs. And you've got to decide, if you're not going to compete this year, and you come to the conclusion that you're not going to compete next year, how long do you think it's the same thing we said after 2017? Will Whit Merrifield be a productive player when you're ready to win again? Early this year, it looked like It looked like Father Time had caught him up, caught up to him. He's hitting better of late. Maybe the bat's going to come around, but will it come around next year? The year after? That's the question that has to be answered by this organization. Crush, you're in the program. What's going on, buddy?
Really like your last caller, but easy on the comps. Deion Sanders, Bo Jackson, Shaq, right?
I got a good comp for you.
For who? For Ross?
For Ross.
Okay.
6'4", 205, 4640. Herman Moore. There's your ceiling.
Okay. I like that. That's pretty good. That's a good ceiling
four,
comp.
Four Pro Bowls, three All Pros.
Ding, ding.
And he was a first-round draft pick. But, yeah. I mean, I think Justin Ross was trending that way before all the injuries. So that's probably a fair one. All right. What's on your mind, Crush?
Santana and O'Hearn.
They're not up.
Okay. Well, here we go.
You got metaphorically speaking.
Give me a minute, Trent.
Yep, go for it.
Give me a second. You know how I do it. Carlos Santana is one of my favorite baseball players of all time. Okay, if I put him on my – he's got to be on my top, 15, 25? And for the listeners, I've got a reason for that, which you know. Okay. And I really like Cleveland starting pitching that they had and Santana, Ramirez, of course, Frankie Lindor. And I loved how Terry would – when Carlos Santana was at his height, Terry batted him leadoff. Amazing to me. Okay. But I'm from here, and I'm done with Carlos Santana here. And I'm another thing I'm going to say is that we had a phone conversation on your program when you asked about a comp for Ryan O'Hearn and who's he going to be. And I called and said, Ryan Sheely, and you said, thanks for raining on our parade.
Yeah.
Now, that's not big brain ideas. This is my problem. That was 4 years ago, or 3 or 4 years ago. Okay, go with that. Bye.
Crush, I appreciate it. Good to hear from you, as always. I mean,
even if I'm occasionally not sure when you're done.
Yeah.
Until you're just done.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Did he not, in the middle of that call, say, you know how I am?
Yes. He said, this is how we do it.
Yeah. Okay.
It's Friday night.
It's such a horse's
somebody,
ass.
Somebody got that.
I got it. It took me a second.
Someone over the age of 40 picked that up.
I think the picture that he's painting is, if Crush can see that he's Ryan Sheely 4 years ago, why didn't the Royals see it? And when he hangs a season of 950 in 2018, a 950 OPS, 12 homers, 30 driven in, and 149 at bats, if you accurately identify your players, you go, well, he's not this good, and so let's go sell him. Let's get something for him. Right, let's move them. And I think that's the kind of thing that the Oakland A's do. Following here, after going 262, 353, 597, again in just 44 games, in 105 games, he goes 195, 281, 369. I mean, OPS is 950, 650, 604, 637, 463 this year. And I get it, like everybody wants O'Hearn gone, but I don't want I do get it. Pascantino's numbers look like he's ready. I don't know what they're waiting on. Prado, of late, since the concussion, looks like he's hitting again. You know, I had the big homer day the other day. I'll have to look at what his numbers are now. But, you know, it's I don't need them rushing those guys. But I think to kind of tie together what Crush and Jazzy Jay said, if you're a fan, or more importantly, if you're ownership and you no longer trust in your baseball people's acumen that they know who is and who isn't the real deal, and they know when a prospect is or isn't ready, then that's when it's time to make a change. I don't think it's fair to change J.J. Piccolo after he just got the GM job, but I get it. He's folded in. He's been with Dayton Mort since the day he got here. And really, it's the The referendum is on Dayton Moore.
He's not a completely new broom, as they say, but right. he's, you know,
yeah, but
in the spot he is.
I like that he was the guy that said it's time to make
yes,
a change.
Absolutely. That was one of the better signs we saw last week.
I'll come back to, I don't know what needs to be fixed on the pitching side of things. My gut is that it really is below Cal Eldred. That it's a systemic issue. That they're not teaching the right things pitching wise coming through. Because too often, guys, they just haven't had success with starting pitchers. I don't know how you could not come to that conclusion. But Cal Eldred, I can't tell you Cal Eldred fixes it when they all get here. So, you know, I don't like seeing anybody get fired, but I don't see where they're it doesn't jibe with me. I mean, I'll listen to it and I'll give credence to the idea that not as much was given to Cal Eldred. That's why he still has his job. The expectations were not as high. Okay, but that can't be the same for much longer. Right? That just can't be the case. And if you want to then open it up and say, okay, let's go beyond Cal Eldred, then what Frank Mazzucato and Asa Lacy eventually, when he gets back on a mound, are doing is critical to whether or not you're going to stay the course with the people you have that are choosing the pitchers to draft and then developing them once they're drafted. There has to be positive returns from those two.
And interesting, he made the comparison of knowing that Ryan O'Hearn was Ryan Sheely. I'm not quite sure what this means. The last year that Sheely played for the Royals, 2008, is slash line 301, 354, 603, 957. They did not re-sign him. When it's free agency, he played exactly five more major league games. So even with those numbers, the Royals knew Ryan Sheely was Ryan Sheely.
Yeah.
It was the different, that was the same crew, wasn't it? More, yeah, it was Dayton.
Yeah.
So just thought it was, he had much better numbers than Ryan O'Hearn has, and they went, yeah, you're not it.
913-3810-810. Talk a little NBA basketball. We come back. You're in the program. You're listening to the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We saw the Golden State Warriors take a 3-0 lead on the Dallas Mavericks last night, and we saw, for what I remember a friend of mine saying about Andrew Wiggins when he was at Kansas, he said, you know, there was the one time when he was on a breakaway, and he said, oh, this is going to be great. Unleash the fury. Here we go. And he just came down with a little, you know, dunk, just set it in, dunk. Mm-hmm. What everybody was waiting for at Kansas was what we saw last night from Andrew Wiggins. Out of this world athleticism, off the charts athleticism. I mean, mom was an Olympic triple jumper, I think.
Yep.
Dad was an NBA player. 6'8", long, length, everything. Bill Self called him an alpha dog. I'd never seen him play like an alpha dog. I never once would have said he was an alpha dog until what we saw last night.
Yeah.
And I will tell you that what we saw from Andrew Wiggins, that was also, is this not the first stage he's ever really played on? Now, you could say, hey, he should have brought it against Stanford in the game where they were upset in the NCAA tournament. Agreed. But had they had Joel Embiid and gotten by Stanford, which I think they would have, would there have been a Final Four moment where he unleashed the fury?
Could be.
This is why coaches lose hair.
Yeah.
What you saw there is what he's capable of, and you don't see it all the time. But if they found it now, if what it's taken is playing in high-level games, they've got a masterpiece on their hand. He was phenomenal last night. He's guarding Doncic. He's making them work on the other end with his offense, and he's showing he's
a two-way player
off the charts athleticism that's always been there.
Or is it the fact that this is the first team he's played before where he hasn't had to be the guy? He's
could
just
be.
free to be his. Hey, Steve Kerr says, we've got Curry, we've got Thompson, we've got Draymond, we've got everyone who does their role. You just be you. You flow from one end to the other, and when you get your moment, you do it. And he's like, oh, okay, pow.
But just the ferocity with which he was bringing
unreal.
It.
I mean, and when you saw him take off, you're like, everyone knew what.
What was coming.
Is he going to get there? Is he going? Oh, he did. I'm so glad that they reversed the call on that because it was a brutal foul call.
Oh, terrible, terrible foul call. And listen, I think it's going to be interesting to see what he does now. Has that unlocked it? Has he unleashed the fury and it's never to be put back in the bottle? Or is it something that he just brings from time to time?
If he does, good luck to the rest of the NBA.
As comedic as the Helms banners are at Kansas, I mean, that's one they could hang. What if Embiid? What if the Fury was unleashed? That was the team. That was Self's third championship, in my opinion.
All right, who was the first Royals pitcher to start a game at Arizona? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.